Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. Want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
So, and people know this?
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
I poop at parties. I poop at parties, but people don't know because I close the door.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Where does she go for it? Does she visit a water closet and make door of the open so people may see and smell things? This sound horrible.
The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. Hour number two, Dirt and Sprague on The Fan. Hour one flew right by. We have two more hours, and then we're headed down to Los Angeles today. Get ready for Pac-12 Media Day. Oregon State is sending Avery Roberts and Jadon Grant. Excited to talk to them.
Absolutely, man. Two defensive players.
One real local kid who is the product of one of our favorite Blazers of all time. He was a walk-on. He was a walk-on player who has become one of the more underrated players, I think, in the entire conference.
Really has, yeah. He's grown into a tremendous defensive back.
And Oregon is going to send Kayvon Thibodeau with Alex Forsythe. Originally, it was Johnny Johnson III, and they switched it to Alex Forsythe, which we're excited about because Alex is a family member of the station.
He's an intercom baby.
He is. His mom worked here once upon a time, and we're really excited to talk to Alex because he's going to be their starting center, and he's really come on a lot, and he's worked his tail off to become the starting center. So I'm excited to talk to all of those guys. Then, of course, Cristobal and Smith. Interesting reactions to the poll questions on Twitter on the Olympics. Are you watching? I'll give you the first three. One says, I watched more Olympics in 1984 from a third world country than this one in Japan. Another one, since the people of Japan didn't want the games, I'm boycotting it. With a deadly pandemic going on, the Olympics are a dumb idea.
Yeah.
And another one, men's volleyball, entertaining, no joke.
Okay, men's volleyball.
I'll look into that. There was a picture of, and I feel like I should know her name. There's a still image, look this up, of the women volleyball players. She's supposedly the best volleyball player in the world.
Is it still the same American gals? Do we still have the same?
I don't know.
Misty May?
Yeah.
But she's
still around.
She's going to spike. Go look at the photo. Look
crazy
this
photo.
Up. It looks like she's jumping 15 feet in the air.
I just watched two-man Spain versus Norway, and it was excellent.
You sound like an Olympics guy.
Well, no, I've been here since 4:30 in the morning, and it's live sports on television, so I'll watch anything.
I feel like...
Let's push dumpsters on fire.
Dude, volleyball players are underrated athletes.
Oh, totally.
Especially
underrated.
Sand. Well,
I think you can do that with almost every single Olympic athlete. Like, I can't do any of
fencing?
These. Sure, I can't do that. That's a hell of a skill. Yes. Let's not poo-poo fencing, okay?
Okay.
Let's put a sword in your hand and see how you operate out there. I feel like there's two different camps of people. There are Olympic people.
Yeah.
And there are non-Olympic people. And that usually tends to be the case. Like, I know people in my life that are into it. And they like watching different sports that they don't ever watch. And this, you fall in love with, like, the family stories and the where do they come from and what have they been through and the kind of narratives. Like, some people can really get into that kind of stuff.
I think a lot of it reminds me of being a kid. We used to sit around during the Olympics, me and my sister and my parents, and when the evening clips came on in the 90s, we'd watch.
But see, I'll tell you, I have some good memories. The 2000 Olympics, my memories are almost all basketball related. Like Vince Carter in 2000 jumping over the French dude after Gary Payton missed the easiest layup of his life.
Sure, you watched the sports that you wanted to watch and you were interested in.
The Greece Olympics were a disaster for basketball. The Redeem Team in 08. But like my total Olympics, like starting and watching as many events as I could, my memory is the 96 Olympics. Ali lighting the torch.
Yeah.
I watched the gymnastics. Dominique Muciano was my crush when I was a kid. The Olympic team in 96 was really talented. Like 96 Olympics are my sweet spot. Carl Lewis, Michael Johnson with the gold shoes.
I mean, that's a great Olympics.
I think that was Carl Lewis's last Olympics because he did 92 and 96. Maybe went into the 80s too, but like 96 is my sweet spot. I've gotten older, I've cared less and less.
Right.
And less. And this isn't a shot at anybody. The pride thing for the country, that doesn't kick in for me really with the Olympics. I know it does for a lot.
It's funny, sure. It only does for me with the Olympics and international soccer. Like, that's it.
See, and for me, it's only stuff like the Ryder Cup. There's certain
that
events
I would be too.
That you
sports,
get involved in.
I'm like, USA, baby.
I mean, I want us to win. No, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying you're going against
you
us.
You're rooting against the flag.
But like, if we win the medal count, horns down. Patrick's over here doing a horns down. That's a 15-yard penalty.
Yeah, it is.
You got to do it away from me. But it just doesn't kick in with me the way it does other people, and that's okay.
Sure. Everybody's got their different cup of tea. My only other take on this is that I feel like it is and this might be generalizing, but I feel like I'm somewhat accurate on it. I feel like if you're a diehard sports fan that watches sports throughout the calendar year, you're not a big Olympics guy. But if you're more of a fringe, I'll watch the bigger events kind of thing, I think you get into it more. Like you mentioned earlier, this is kind of a sports break time for us. Like the NBA finals, the NBA playoffs take forever.
What'd you do this weekend?
On Saturday, I played golf, and then I took the wife out to dinner, and we went to a bar and saw some live music. And then yesterday, we went to Trillium Lake and did some stand-up paddleboarding.
Saturday, I went to the coast. It was amazing weather. And Sunday, we had my daughter's soccer game. We lost again. I have kids testing my patience as a human being. I just want to throw that out there.
I think they got to fire the coach. It's not a roster problem.
We almost had a fight.
I think.
Like a legit five-year-olds fighting each other.
Nice!
Yeah. We've got a kid on our team that I think is in karate.
Kid crime.
That's his sport. And there was another kid trying to push people around on the other team. No, he was legit like, he kept doing the Bruce Lee thing, like the karate stance, like,
Dude, that is hilarious.
But that was my weekend, and I had a great weekend.
I need to come to one of these games, man.
I don't know if you want to.
Watch a kid judo chop another kid in the neck.
I got a cooler in the back of the truck, baby. We go anywhere.
Boy, sit on the tailgate, watch it, like Texas high school football.
But this is my point, though. You see, like, Mariner fans had baseball this weekend.
No, I think that's the larger thing is that when you're a diehard sports fan, you're roped into sports throughout the, like, football season's right around the corner. We can't wait for it. And then the Blazers and the NBA picks up. And then it's a constant thing. And so I'm not seeking out sports at 4 o'clock in the morning that I'm not interested in with to begin with. But I think there's a lot of folks out there that are, you'll watch bigger sporting events, but you just, I think, again, it's a narrative thing. You're falling in love with the story about this kid is from this place and this is what his family's been through and he's going for a gold medal or she's failed this many times and this is their last Olympics. Like, I think you fall in love with the narratives and you can rope in a lot of just normal folks who aren't diehard sports fans to watch your product.
And there's always great moments in athletes and reasons that people want to follow. Yeah. And I appreciate the people saying what sports they're into and that they're watching and some of the others don't get them. That's cool.
Yeah.
And maybe I'll end up watching a few of these events. To Patrick's point, track and field, you tell me when to watch the 100 meters, I'm in.
Yeah,
I'll probably turn it on.
Yeah, see who wins.
Let's transition into college football. Josh Pate's going to join us at the bottom of the hour. 24/7, late kick with Josh Pate. Is college football jumping the shark and ruining their sport? There is about a million articles you can read with Oklahoma and Texas now heading to the SEC. And by the way, this is all but a done deal. As they had a president meeting and they're in hopes that they can talk them back into it. They're gone. Texas and Oklahoma will leave. Of all the pieces I've read, and I've read a lot, what I continue to feel as a sports fan, we talk about how we feel as our fandoms, right, with sports and how they resonate. While I love and understand that college football is a haves and have nots, it is jumping the shark for me. And I didn't know I'd feel this way after doing Friday's show. But over the weekend, there was one report, and I don't know how much substance there is to it, but, you see this stuff on social media, and it was that the SEC has reached out to Michigan, Clemson, Ohio State.
And Florida State,
I think. And Florida State about joining the SEC and then just going all 20 teams and doing this super conference. And then I was worried, are they just going to break away from the NCAA and ESPN is owning the rights to SEC football? So that means they own the rights to all of these teams.
It's just going
to
be their playoff every year. Nobody else can compete.
I wouldn't blame them. I get it financially. But are they ruining college football? Is this starting to jump the shark? Andy Staples has an article saying the Big Ten should go try to poach half of the Pac-12 now, the good teams of the Pac-12.
Yeah, I am going to claim. I'm with you on it. I've with you. I've had the same reaction where I was kind of excited about this and new matchups and what it's going to look like. And then your school gets involved in some of the rumors and it's not quite as fun anymore of like this conference wants Oregon and they might be playing, you know, Northwestern in conference games. Like what
you
the hell
play
is
play Rutgers.
Like what is this crap? No,
you could
I don't
go
want
all
that.
The way to Jersey.
I don't want any part of that. This is stupid. And that's when I started to push back on it. I will say I'm going to cling to a glimmer of hope that has been reported over the last 12 to 14 hours or so. And that is that they finally remember there was a call of the athletic directors and presidents, I think, of the Big 12. I want to say on Thursday or Friday where Texas and Oklahoma didn't even show up. And that led to Big 12 ADs and presidents talking about, all right, what the hell are we going to do here? How do we navigate? You know, those are the only two teams that matter in this conference. The only two teams that draw eyeballs, at least in football. What are we going to do? There was rumors that they were going to call the Pac-12 and say, how about we form a 20-team conference? Just our eight leftovers joining your 12. How about that? Like, they're trying to figure it out. But in the last 12 or so hours, there have been growing reports that Bob Bowlesby and folks around the Big 12 have had conversations with Oklahoma and Texas about basically what is it going to take for you to stay, if at all. And Texas and Oklahoma are participating in those conversations. Now, the biggest thing that they want and demand, and they're not wrong in this regard, you see this a lot in every sport at every level, they want a higher percentage of television revenue. They're saying when our TV deal's up, if we're going to stay in the Big 12, we're not equally splitting this with Kansas State.
Why, though? That's that.
I know.
I get that. They
I understand
drive it.
Their
That's
push.
So unfair to the
Is
rest
it, though?
Of the.
Yeah. What? Why should Kansas State get the same TV share as Oklahoma?
Because Kansas State didn't get the benefit of starting as some blue blood
saying,
who was amazing. They play football in Manhattan, Kansas.
Sure.
I don't know if I could find Manhattan, Kansas on the Kansas map.
I understand the socialist argument. I do. Let's spread the wealth equally.
Don't take this to politics.
But I also
we don't do that on
You have
show.
To get it from Oklahoma and Texas perspective, especially
it
since.
It is a capitalistic perspective.
Right? Like they're saying. We're the ones that,
I get that, but
when the Big 12 signs their television deal with ESPN, why is ESPN signing the Big 12 to that deal?
For those two programs.
Right. And so their argument is if you're going to sign that deal, cut the check for us. Now, I don't know how real it is, but I'm going to cling to that glimmer of hope. There was an anonymous,
I think they're gone.
There was an anonymous quote from the Big 12, somebody inside the Big 12 that was basically like, if you're leaving, stop jerking our chain here. Let us know officially. But at least as of now, they're still in the conference and they're trying to do anything they can to keep them.
I like your hope. I like your optimism. I get it. I'm not saying I don't understand it. I just, if you're in a conference, it's all for one and one for all. Like, be in it with them, you know? Like, Oregon is far more successful than Arizona. But some of that's not all Arizona's fault. Oregon's had some great hires, some great runs, and Arizona's had a couple, but largely they haven't had the benefit of what Oregon has. That's not entirely fair. I feel like if you're in a conference, be in the conference with everybody. They're not going to go to the SEC and demand to go make more than Auburn.
No, but they're going to get such a larger television share that's why the move makes sense for them.
They'll make an extra 15, maybe 20 million. And then when the deal gets reworked, it could be upwards of 25 to 30. So I understand the financial aspects of this. I think a lot of this is being driven by the pandemic. If you really want my take, everybody's talking about why expansion, TV deals. If you want to be honest, let's call a spade a spade. Tons of programs lost a buttload of money.
Yeah.
The Green Bay Packers lost $150 million last year. The NFL team, Green Bay Packers, lost $150. Athletic departments were bleeding last year, and now they're looking for what? Ways to recoup that money and make even more. I think a lot of this is being driven by the pandemic. That being said, I do think you can jump the shark on this. And if you were to apply this to the Pac-12, like who are the two schools that demand to make more than everybody else? Is it USC, Oregon?
That's How's the can Washington of worms you're opening up for sure.
And that's there's a danger in that because then you're inherently destroying every conference because in the Big Ten, despite what some programs, Wisconsin's been pretty consistent. Michigan would probably think they're the ones that should get more money with Ohio State, right?
Right.
Should that happen?
So
this
I think,
is the next push that you're going to get in television contracts, especially if Oklahoma and Texas end up somehow staying in the Big 12. The only reason they're going to stay is they're going to get that bigger share. And then you're going to see that around every TV renegotiation of saying, why should Oregon get the same TV revenue as Washington State? How does that make sense?
When does this
you're
stop?
You're
going to
see all that. Why should USC get the same as Oregon State? Right. You're going to see that push, and I'm with you on it. I understand the fear, but that's the next push.
If you play that game, I'll say this. If you play that game, it never ends. It will never, never end. Bama will say, I want 15% more than every team in this conference, and you'll have to pay it because it's Alabama and Nick Saban is still the head coach. This is a dangerous Pandora's box to open. We got some more on this, too. How do you feel about the college football playoff expansion? Do you feel like it's taking something away from the sport that we all have grown up and love to watch? 503-250-1080. Josh Pate will join us at 7:30. That's next on The Fan.
Help the LPGA Tour celebrate its 50-year anniversary in Portland at the tour's launch.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This is Dirt and Sprague, gone 1080, The Fan.
All right, Josh Pate's going to join us in 10 minutes. It is official, quite literally, as we went to commercial break, it broke.
So much for my optimism. That lasted about 2 minutes.
Yeah, the sources behind the scenes with optimism went right out the window. It is official. Texas and Oklahoma have notified the Big 12 they will not be extending their grant of rights beyond 2025. This will now lead into the negotiation of breaking out of the conference before 2025 because they will not be playing ball within the Big 12 for the next 4 years.
If they do, it's going to be really awkward.
No, they won't. They'll reach a deal. I believe the official number was $150 million to break out of their media right deal now.
Yeah.
But there are many in the conference, around the conference, that cover college football that believe they can negotiate a deal. Maybe it's 80, maybe it's 70, whatever that number is. It's like negotiating a buyout in pro sports.
Mm-hmm.
They will come together. They will pay that fee. And they will be out of the Big 12. It will be interesting to see what this year is, because I haven't seen anything that says they'll join the SEC this year. So maybe it's a swan song of, hey, we're here one more year.
Awkward.
Goodbye in 2022.
I mean, we already have schedules. Yeah, I mean, that's hard.
No way
I don't know how
now.
You.
Yeah, no way. They're in the Big 12 this season.
They have to be.
They have to be.
Don't underestimate the power of money.
I mean, how do you reshuffle that entire SEC schedule, though?
I'm just saying, we don't officially know when they're going to leave.
You're right. I get that point. But there's no way. 3 weeks away? No way.
Yeah.
No way.
No way.
It can, but
I'd
be
shocked. Market aid, dude. Market
aid.
No way.
Okay, all right. You want to put some money on this? Yeah. I'll put money on this.
No, I believe you. I'm just saying. I wouldn't be the most shocked individual. They're like, Oklahoma has an SEC schedule now, and they're going to play this team, and that team. But, you know, I put a poll question up, and it's too early, but I asked if expansion was ruining the sport for you. And so far, it's an overwhelming no, and I admire that, because to me, I think we're reaching dangerous territory here.
I thought Stuart Mandel had a really good article, and not just because he's the friend of the show. I don't understand Oklahoma's need for this at all. They have benefited from that crappy conference. They are easily the number one draw of that conference. They've been in the playoff, and they've been the only team from that conference to make it. They're probably close at some point, right? Lincoln Riley with the right quarterback is probably going to break through. I don't understand their need to want to go to the SEC and lose one, two times, even if you make the playoff. Are you ever really going to win that conference?
Yeah, maybe not.
But I'm with Mandel. I didn't understand Oklahoma's side of this.
Yeah.
And now I think we worry slash wait to see what other teams in other conferences do, because everybody assumes that the Pac-12 is going to take Big 12 teams.
Yeah.
I'm not putting it past the Big 10 to try to steal some teams for football purposes in the Pac-12.
So here, the reasoning for Oklahoma to me is easy. It's one, in the expanded playoff format, you don't have to win your conference to get in. So you just have to be good. And if you play a tough schedule, which we all know the SEC gets propped up more than any other conference, they're going to have a great shot at making the playoff.
Sounds like in the SEC, you're going to be able to lose three games, up to three games and still get in
the
playoff.
If those losses are to Alabama, LSU, and Florida, but you lose them in close, but then you beat a handful of other ranked teams because SEC teams are always ranked. Right, like you're going to have a path to the playoff. The main reason they're doing it, though, is not only do you still have the path there, but it's financial. Like just in the last year, I think the SEC's media share that they distributed per school was $12 million more than the Big 12's. And that's before their next TV contract kicks in that, oh, by the way, now is going to include Oklahoma and Texas. So they're already sharing somewhere in the range of $45, $46 million, even in a pandemic season for their schools. I mean, that has a realistic shot now at jumping all the way up to $60 million. The Big 12's was never going to jump that much because there just aren't as many can't-miss teams, and the TV deal wasn't that attractive for ESPN or Fox or whatever. You still want the Big 12, of course, because Oklahoma and Texas were in it, but you're not going to get $60 million per school. So those are the main reasons behind it. And I think to the question of, is it ruining college football? I also love that we always just view this through a football lens, too. That cracks me up. Like, it impacts every sport. Basketball is another pretty big, important sport, and we never take that into consideration when we think about teams we want in realignment. Like, I know if I threw out, does the Pac-12 want Kansas, you'd probably get a lot of, why would we want Kansas? It's like, well, they are one of the best college basketball programs.
Die for Kansas in
the history
of
the sport to go on the road and play Pac-12 game. Oregon at Kansas, UCLA at Kansas. Those would be
Kansas at Friel Court.
Let's go, baby. Kansas up in Corvallis. You would love it, right? It would be amazing. But we always view it through a football lens.
Yeah.
I think to answer the question, though, where does it go from here? Is this a...
Do you buy my theory?
Is this a start that we see Oklahoma and Texas, and then you do get a Michigan, a Clemson, or a Florida State, or somebody else to join? If that happens, then I'm right there with you. This sucks. It's stupid, and it's ruining everything. If this is two schools that say, we see greener pastures on the other side of the fence, we're going to jump, and then you get some slight maneuvering elsewhere, basically other conferences picking up the scraps of the Big 12, which I could see happening, I'm okay with that. Like, if the next step is the Big 10 picking up two Big 12 schools, the Pac-12 picks up a couple, maybe the ACC gets one or two, I'm not upset with this. I think it's going to be okay. But if it leads to wholesale changes where Ohio State, Michigan, Clemson, Florida State, Oregon, Washington, USC could all be jumping conferences and realigning, that's when you lose, man.
I still don't put it past. I was thinking about it over the weekend. I would not put it past ESPN to be working with Greg Sankey, who, by the way, about a week ago, Greg Sankey was all in. He said, I think we should expand the playoff. And everybody was kind of like, okay, he just wants some SEC teams. Now there's a little more light to that, right? Why was he doing it? Well, 6 months ago, they knew about this negotiation. They told nobody. And now it makes sense that the SEC suddenly wants a 12 team. We thought it was going to go 6 or 8. Everybody thought it was going to go 6 or 8. Now it's 12? Why did it go so large? Oh, Texas needs to make it with 4 losses.
Well, Texas ain't good. Texas can't make it in the Big 12. They're not making it in the SEC.
See, and this is what it depends what Sark does, but
sure.
This is where I say it ruins. You sit in a much better position playoff wise than I. But it doesn't bother you until Oregon gets shut out of the playoff because they didn't win their conference, and Texas gets in with the same amount of losses as your team. Then you're suddenly like, this is bull crap.
Well, sure. I still won't be that upset, though, because you can control your own destiny. Win your conference and be a high-ranked team and you're in.
Yeah, but sometimes things don't break your way. A fumble bounced weird lost the big game. And that you lost the game.
It's
going to
be frustrating, but win your conference. Win your conference and you're in. That still exists for the other conferences.
Not for the SEC.
Well, no, the SEC,
the SEC doesn't have to win their
conference.
Played
by its own rules, though. Nothing new here. Alabama didn't win its division, and they made the playoff over a team that just beat them.
But now it's going to be
nothing
enhanced.
Nothing has ever mattered for the SEC. They've always been allowed to do their own thing.
There is a part of me that wonders about this, if they break away and just kind of form their own thing. Dabo hinted at this, did he not? It's a Premier League, tier ones and tier twos and relegation. Why did he say that? Where is that coming from? There's a lot going on behind the scenes, I think, in college football. Maybe there isn't, but it feels like there is. Let's talk with John.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This is the Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague visit the insiders that are covering the stories you've heard about, and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, Daily Ticker time on a Monday, and boy, is this perfectly timed. It's Oklahoma and Texas officially announcing they're leaving the Big 12. How many more years until they're in the SEC? We'll have to wait and see on that. But joining us now, our friend Josh Pate at Late Kick. Josh on Twitter, National College Football. For 24/7 Sports, he's the host of the Late Kick on YouTube and the Late Kick podcast, both with, of course, Josh Pate. Josh, thanks for the time, man. We loved having you on last time. We thought we got to get this guy on again. I'll just start your reaction. The news coming out here recently, some people differed on how real it was going to be. I know you believe this was a real threat, but Oklahoma and Texas no longer going to be in the Big 12. What's your reaction?
When was I on with you? I was on with you guys like 2 weeks ago, right? It was very recent. So let's just imagine that morning. Let's go back in time. And let's say you guys pitch me, hey, Josh, how you doing? Give me a big prediction for the season. And I were to tell you, well, I think in a couple of weeks what's going to dominate SEC media days is Texas and Oklahoma announcing they're leaving the Big 12 for the SEC. What would you have said to me at that point? You would have hung up, But then what would you have said about me at that point?
Probably would have called you an idiot, probably. Hang up on that idiot. He doesn't know what the hell he's talking about.
I wouldn't have hung up, but I would have been like, great, now the SEC is going to have all 12 playoff spots in about 4 years.
Yeah, so that's case study number one of why you should never laugh at anyone's prediction on anything, because the craziest stuff could happen. Look, here's my reaction. This is what it feels like to live in a 30 for 30 as it's going on. Sometimes you don't realize it until after the fact, but we're in one right now. I am in the South. I grew up in the South. I live in the South. I'm in the South. And it's crazy when you just talk to people, you know, on the street, literally, about this stuff. There are wide-ranging opinions. Some people are excited just for the prospect of seeing big-time matchups on Saturday afternoons. But there are a lot of people down here, and I'm included in this group, that looks and says, but wait, aren't we college football fans too? And if the answer is yes, don't you have to have the greater good of the sport in the back of your mind or in the forefront of your mind when it comes to what you think is good or bad? And that's why I've looked at this. I don't like it at all. I mean, it did not appeal to me from day one. And it's only because, you know, I look in other sectors of life and you watch conglomeration happen and you watch, you know, the Amazons of the world. And I'm not demonizing anyone. I'm just saying that's what happens in a completely open market. And I've never wanted college football to be that. I love college football having sort of the feel of a natural preserve, to where we do have what you would call arbitrary checks and balances in place. We created them ourselves, to where, let's just say, we create a world where truly the Iowa States and Alabamas can theoretically exist on the same plane. Well, you don't have that anymore. Once you remove those barriers, and I think NIL has done a lot to erode that barrier, it's called amateurism. Once you remove that final barrier, you go into full free market law of the jungle mode. And at that point, it's just the biggest shark that gets to go eat. And so the biggest shark is the SEC and Greg Sankey. They're eating right now. And it's in my best interest in the fact that I cover the conference, I guess, but I don't like it because my best interest truly is when college football is being served. And I don't think this is serving college football.
Are they done? Are they done adding teams?
Why would they? That's the other question I've asked people who just assume they're stopping after they get Texas and Oklahoma. Listen, the appetite necessary to go after Texas and Oklahoma inevitably will not be suppressed once you get Texas and Oklahoma, because I can pretty much guarantee you there have absolutely been other institutions out there reaching out to the SEC because they understand what the deal is at this point. And so what are you going to do, turn them down when you have the opportunity to add that much more inventory to your potential television revenue pie? You're going to turn that down? That's what worries me, because we use the term Pandora's box a lot, probably overused. It's not overused here. I think it's very apropos to the situation.
Well, Josh, so I'm glad you said that, because I feel the exact same way. I can't fathom that they're done with just these two teams. There was a random person, maybe it's an accredited reporter, but I saw it and it was Twitter, but it said they contacted Clemson, Michigan, Florida State. They're not done with this. I'm starting to wonder the theory of who owns the SEC, basically. It's ESPN, ABC. They got this big partnership. Are they making a look at doing something on their own, saying buy NCAA, buy second-tier programs who can never compete? We're going to go basically make our own league here and have our own little college football world where we have the best programs in the country playing each other.
It's where I think ultimately it's headed. I mean, if you just map out the end game, if you forget about everything you'd use to define what college football is to you right now, you guys live on the West Coast, okay? When there is an earthquake happening, no one thinks rationally. It is, let's survive the earthquake. I mean, let's get under the door frame or whatever you have to do. Let's just survive the earthquake. College football is in the middle of an earthquake right now. So every label falls to the ground. Every preconceived notion falls to the ground. Everything's fluid. Everything's in play right now. And if you try your best to map out what the landscape looks like when the earthquake is finished, how do you arrive at any other conclusion? When you look at one already superpower in the sport consolidating even further a few other superpowers that existed outside of its blueprint, at that point, the thinking down here has been all along, the SEC is headed to a world where they detach themselves from the NCAA entirely. But in doing that, yes, you kind of detach yourself from college football, but you don't leave college football behind. What you tell people is, no, we're not leaving college football behind. We are college football. The three letters, SEC, they are CFB now. So again, if you grew up being a fan of college football, you listen to that and it repulses you. And I feel the same way, and I'm down here in the SEC.
Yeah, it's just crazy how quickly this is all. A week ago, we're in a normal world, and now a week later, it's like, what the hell is college football going to look like in 5 years? Nobody knows. Josh Pate is our guest, national college football for 24/7 Sports. You can check his Late Kick show on YouTube. Also, the podcast, Late Kick with Josh Pate, at Late Kick Josh on Twitter. You mentioned us being on the West Coast. We're already fearful of being out of sight, out of mind to the rest of the college football world here in Pac-12 territory. What's your reaction of how this plays out for our conference? Is it a fear of our big schools potentially getting poached out? Is there a play here for the Pac-12? I mean, if you got to join the world, right? You got to hunt or be hunted. Are you going after other programs in the Big 12? Like, how does this play out here in Pac-12 country?
Well, so I know a lot of folks are throwing around the concept that once everything settles down, what we will be left with is multiple super conferences. And that used to be the way I thought about it, too. It's not the way I think about it now, at least in the terms of multiplicity. What I think is you will have the SEC become whatever the SEC becomes. And, you know, I think, to be honest with you, I don't like what I'm about to say, but I think it's more likely college football takes on, where have we heard this before, a lot of NFL feel to it, in that you have an AFC and you got an NFC. So you got two, you know, major whatever we would call them in the college world, but that is Oregon's play. That is Southern Cal's play. Now, what is that? Is that a Big 12, Pac-12 merger? Well, I don't know that that still would be formidable enough once you remove Texas and Oklahoma from the equation. So what you're going to probably have to think about is you're probably going to have to think about, once the SEC does what they do, who takes the reins? Is it the Big Ten? Is it the ACC? Is it the Pac-12, the Big 12? Someone takes the reins. And you have got to organize whatever the counter will be to what the SEC does. To me, it is another super conference. That's what it is. But we're talking about, guys, to be clear here, I am talking about a conceptual model that could put Oregon and Clemson in the same conference, which is ludicrous. But if you think about it in more pro-NFL terms instead of college regionality terms, it makes sense. Again, I hate that because I love the regionality of college football.
Right.
But if it is a true, again, like do-or-die moment, I don't know, because I was talking the other night on the show, if you're Mario Cristobal, you really like where things are headed at Oregon. I mean, recruiting is great. Infrastructure is great. Investment is great. Everything seems to be trending in the right direction. But what happens if 50 or 60% of the legitimacy of your conference affiliation is all of a sudden cut out from under you, and you're existing all of a sudden as a second-class citizen in college football? What do you do? I don't even know how you handle that. And that's one of the crazy aspects of many crazy aspects of this whole thing. So, yeah, I think it's going to be tough decision time. It's not the end of the world, but I think it's going to be tough decision time out there.
Dude, I am in lockstep with everything you have said. We just did a segment before you came on, and I basically was like, dude, I'm worried that this is what it's going to be, that they are breaking away from the NCAA. ESPN understands people don't like the NCAA. They can make a buttload more money if they do this super conference and play their own sport. They know we'll watch. I will. And it worries me. What I'm an alum, though, of Oregon State, Josh, and while I know what Oregon State really is in college football, if they're good, that's great. If, you know, middle tier, whatever, you know, it's whatever. But what happens to programs like Oregon State, specifically with just football, not basketball or anything else? What happens with teams like Oregon State throughout college football if this all kind of goes down that way?
I don't think there's a spot at the table for them. I mean, it sucks, because it is the tearing down of the dam. I mean, right now, you know, I grew up in Columbus. We've got a place called Lake Martin, which is right below a big dam. And so there is a lot of recreation there in Lake Martin. There's a lot of wildlife that lives in Lake Martin that could never exist the moment that dam got breached. The college football dam is being breached right now, and there are a lot of programs that have been able, because of a dam that we voluntarily built, to be able to live in that environment. This is how, theoretically, the Oregon States of the world can live in the same pool as the Georgias of the world. Understanding Georgia's always the bigger fish, but Oregon State can sustain itself in that pool. We are voluntarily now tearing down the dam that we put up, and I don't see any way feasible for programs like Oregon State to survive, because you've got to think about the value that you bring to the table, and it's not just Oregon State, man. Think about a program like Iowa State right now, which is a preseason top 10.
Right.
If you start listening to some of these folks talk about from a revenue standpoint, And from a tractability standpoint and a market share standpoint, what little value Iowa State brings, we're talking about some big-time current players in the college football world that you would have a TV executive look at you sideways and say, we don't have room for them. And so, yeah, for many reasons, this being another one, I hate that concept. I wish I could reject it totally. I hate that concept.
Yeah, Beavers build dams, Josh. You sure you don't want to take them? They're good dam builders.
I wish so badly I realized that as it was coming out of my mouth.
Made for a great analogy. Josh Pate, he's one of our favorites. Go check out The Late Kick with Josh Pate on YouTube. Also the podcast, National College Football for 24/7 Sports.
Josh, when do you think, last one from me, when do you think we'll hear anything about maybe them looking to expand even more? Like, what is your timeline in your mind of when we'd hear more noise from the SEC looking to add teams?
Man, I really truthfully have no clue. I think that could come today. It could come 6 months from now. I think it's going to be a very unique season. Last year was unique for totally different reasons. Mm-hmm. This season could be unique in that, if you want to call it a cloud, you have that cloud sort of always in the back of everyone's mind, and you got a great season coming up. We got a phenomenal season. That's kind of the juxtaposition. But every Saturday you watch the games, and then you wonder, well, I wonder where that helmet logo will be in 2 years. I wonder where this program will be in 4 years. What I really hope is that there's some kind of definitive statement made from the SEC. Now, they have no incentive to do that, but I wish that we could find out one way or the other, hey, here's where we are deciding to rest. Here's the maximum number that we'll take. I just wish we had some clarity on that. And I know a lot of reporters are trying to dig and get that kind of information, and not surprisingly, there is precious little coming out of the mouths of those who stand to be able to make such statements.
Yeah, scary stuff. We'll see where it all goes in the sport. Go give him a follow on Twitter, at Late Kick Josh. Great stuff as always. Josh Pate, let's do it again soon, man. Thanks so much for the time again this morning.
All right, guys, I appreciate it.
There you go, Josh Pate. Let's get to what this means and where does the Pac-12 go from here. We, ironically, are going to have George Klyavkov on the show this week. He is the commissioner of the conference. We're going to be down at Pac-12 Media Day.
It'll be on Wednesday. Yeah.
And I wonder what we're going to have to ask him about, because what the hell does this mean for the Pac-12? Where do they go from here next on The Fan?
The Fan text line.
I like my knowledge growing.
Now.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
This is Dirt and Sprague, Gun 1080, The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. Thanks again to Josh Pate for hopping on with us. There's all sorts of stuff going on in the sports world. We got Blazer trade stuff we wanted to get to. Deshaun Watson's just showing up like nothing's happened this offseason. Aaron Rodgers might be retiring this week. Like, there's a lot going on. But it's hard to not focus on this story because it just seems so big, at least for us in our neck of the woods. And what does it mean for our conference? I kind of share the fear of Josh Pate about the ultimate fear is, if this stuff continues in college athletics, what does it mean for the smaller programs, the ones that need the TV distribution to help stay viable, the ones that, you know, you're not going to compete year in and year out, and you're never going to get the same level of talent, but you're on the same playing field. And it feels like we're leaving some of those programs behind with this idea of super teams and super conferences. But how do we want the Pac-12? George Klyavkov just took the job. We have a new commissioner.
Hey, George.
Hey, welcome to the job, buddy.
We hated the last guy that you replaced because he didn't get enough done. Good luck following all these conferences.
Imagine him taking over and then two prominent programs leave the conference within the first 6 months. That'll go great. So welcome to the job, George. How do we want him to handle this?
Well, I mean, I think he's already doing that. Now, that doesn't mean he's going to be what you or I or or Patrick or any other Pac-12 fan would deem successful, but he's absolutely on the phone right now as we speak because everybody is either 9:54 or they're at 10:54 their time. And you've got to be on the phone doing what you can. I don't know if you merge with the Big Ten. I don't know if you merge with the Big 12 teams. I understand why we went here Friday, but I saw way too many people acting like TCU, Texas Tech, and Baylor do anything for this conference. Do you want them? Sure. So you can keep up with the Joneses and having that many teams. But can we stop pretending that those teams are any good? Texas Tech, what have they done? TCU,
TCU's a pretty consistent program.
It's hit and miss, a little hit and miss. They're consistent for what they are and where they play.
They fit perfectly in the Pac-12.
And that's my point. You're not bringing any big boys to this table. So, like, the fact that Pac-12 fans are acting like those additions are some game-changing move for the conference, they're not.
Oklahoma State's really the only one that I'm kind of like, ooh, I think that would be a good
play. They can't win the Big 12, and the Big 12 sucks. You need to align yourself with Ohio State. You need to call the Big Ten and say, we've had a partnership going back decades with this Rose Bowl. What can we do to create a football merger? And if you want to incorporate basketball, sure, go ahead. But Kliavkov, I bet you, was already on the phone. And this is the scary part. While he's on the phone, these other programs are taking phone calls. And this is what's terrifying to me, is that whether it's just football or a couple other sports, you're going to get left behind. And anybody not acting like that's a possibility, what in the Pac-12's decade history suggests that that's not possible?
Yeah, it's going to come down to other conferences and other programs. I don't even know if this is the right phrase, but I'm going to use it anyways. Doing the right thing. It's going to come down to other programs and other conferences saying we care more about the institutions and the conferences and keeping the stability than we do chasing after an extra $25 million a year.
So to Josh's point, this is, I know we're against it, but let me just throw this to you real quick, and we can talk about this to kick off the final hour. He mentioned it could be going NFL, AFC, NFC conference. What does the NFL have that college football kind of has that they could really nail down? They have two huge playoff partners, Fox and CBS. Now, you have NBC there, too. I wouldn't be stunned if the Big Ten and the Pac-12, who have Fox affiliations, do you now go Pac-12, Big Ten merger, Fox-affiliated stations, FS1, et cetera,
sure.
ESPN, SEC, ABC, that super conference. And you take turns with a playoff and you break away from the NCAA. These all sound insane until they're not. So we need to start putting our brains into that kind of thinking because I'm with Josh, and I said this before he came on, I don't think this is the end.
Yeah, I hope that it is, but my optimistic thinking didn't work well in the first hour, so me saying that probably means we're going to hear like four more major schools are leaving their conferences in the next hour.
What if Oregon made $25 million more a year by doing a Big Ten deal?
It's not worth it for me. It's not.
It's not for you, but is it for the program?
Sure. I mean, I understand why teams are wanting to chase after the bigger checks. You want to know what the distribution was, the Big 12 and SEC compared last year?
Oh, it's compared to us?
No, just to comparing the Big 12 and the SEC because they just left the Big 12.
I think it's 15
mil. So the SEC, their total revenue that they shared amongst their schools was $729 million. $729. The Big 12's was $345 million. They gave out an extra, give or take, $12 million per school, and that is with having four more schools than the Big 12 has. So, I mean, this is why we're in this reality. And again, it's going to come down to are teams willing and schools and universities willing to say the sanctity of college football is more important than that $20 million a year. It's not an easy thing to say, but are there enough that care about the tradition and the history of the sport that say, this is a scary trend, we need to stop. Texas and Oklahoma, fine, you go do whatever the hell you want. Maybe we do a merger with another conference, but it's not worth it to cause all of these headaches around the sport and ruin what we truly do love historically in college football. We'll start the final hour with more on this. Quarterback news in the NFL, Blazer trades, it's going to be loaded. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague on.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.